Hey friends, welcome to the Her God Story podcast, where you will always hear a powerful story to encourage and inspire you in your walk with the Lord. I'm your host, Jody Kiracosta, ministry leader at Somebody Cares America and International, author and traveler on this incredible journey of faith. Jeremiah 31:3 in the NIV records the Lord saying, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness." That verse reminds us all that no matter where we've been or what we've done, God's love never lets go. His kindness keeps reaching for us, redeeming, restoring, and drawing us back to himself. Maybe you've had moments when you felt like you've blown it with God, when regret, failure, even shame make you wonder if he could ever use you or even love you again. Many of us have wondered that, but here's the truth. God's love never gives up, and his promises never fail. Maybe you don't believe that, but I know you hope it's true. Corrie ten Boom, who survived the horrors of Auschwitz during World War II and saw God's amazing love from many angles, once said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." When we can't see what's ahead, we can still trust the heart of the one who holds our future. God's plans aren't undone by our mistakes. He specializes in redeeming what's been broken. That same redeeming love is what we see every day through Somebody Care outreaches, especially through the Widow and Orphan Fund. Around the world, women and children who've lost so much are discovering that God has not forgotten them, like poverty-stricken widows in rural Kenya who recently received help starting businesses so they can support themselves. In the midst of hardship and even grief, God is meeting them with comfort, provision, and renewed hope, often through caring friends like you, who choose to be his hands and heart in action. God does that for them, and he does that for us. As Elizabeth Elliot reminds us, God's story never ends with ashes. Hope isn't gone, it's reborn in his presence. He turns mourning into joy and brings beauty out of what once seemed beyond repair. My guest today, Terry Lynn Corbett, knows that truth firsthand. She's an author, speaker, and licensed minister whose journey of redemption shows how far God's grace will reach to rescue and rebuild a life. Out of her own story of broken relationships, rejection, and restoration, Terry met the healing love of Jesus, the one who became her true husband and restorer. Through Where's My Husband Ministries and her books, including Declaring Your Soul to Believe and Your Enemy to Leave, she now helps women break free from shame, rediscover their worth, and walk in the hope of God's promises. If you've ever wondered whether God could still love you, still use you, or still bring beauty from your ashes, Terry's story will remind you he absolutely can. So settle in, open your heart, let your faith rise. The God who began your story isn't finished with it yet, and you can be sure he is at work to bring beauty and hope. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you, Jody. It's an honor to be with you today.
Well, Terry, every story starts somewhere, and often our early experiences leave lasting marks on how we see ourselves. So before we jump into how God later brought healing and restoration, let's look back for a moment. What were your early years like, and how did those experiences shape the way you thought about yourself and even your sense of worth?
Very good question. Thank you, Jody. So I grew up the youngest of four daughters, and my three sisters were from my mother's first marriage. So grew up, we had lots of family vacations together. We did lots of fun things together. We're involved in things at school. But there was a lot missing. We did not have, long talks as a family. We didn't talk about morals. There was a lot of alcohol in my family, unfortunately, way too much. A lot of fighting. I tried desperately to get the approval of my dad and just could never seem to do it. We didn't have any daddy-daughter dances or anything like that at school. Those are things that I craved, but I could never seem to get the attention of my dad. So early on, I think I was really just drawn to more of promiscuity. the attention of other kids at school that were troublemakers, boys, anywhere I could get attention. It was negative attention, but it was still for me attention. Early on, I remember one time we had a boat and we often would go to Catalina Island. Often my parents were drinking with friends and having a good time. We were out in the channel there, and after a long afternoon of drinking, my father decided, for some reason, unexpectedly, that it was time to have a swimming lesson. So my father just picked me up and threw me off of the back of the boat in the channel. I did not know how to swim. I was thrashing around. I thought for sure I was going to drown. Then shortly after, my dad jumped in and saved me. It was a pretty awful, unexpected deal. I felt very scared. I felt very unprotected. My parents were continuing to drink for the afternoon, and I think that was the day they came up with some nicknames for me. There were three of them, and one was Terry the Terrible, Rotten, and Ornery, probably because I wasn't too happy for the rest of the day. So that was kind of a kingpin point to my life that I can look back and say, wow, I felt very unprotected. I felt unworthy. I was scared. And so that kind of set me on a course of looking for love in all the wrong directions. At age 14, I met a boy who was 5 years older than me. We dated. I got pregnant. I told my father, who told me at the time that I would definitely be getting an abortion. Otherwise, I would not be able to stay at home with them, that I would have to find another place to live. I did my best to listen to my friends who were telling me it was not a baby. It was a blob of tissue, that I would be better off. I was too young to be a mom. Went ahead with the abortion. After the abortion, I became getting more and more angry, was blaming God, but didn't really know who he was at the time. Just my thoughts of him were not good. My boyfriend introduced me to drugs and alcohol at the time, so I was getting angrier and angrier. And shortly thereafter, about a year or two later, still with my boyfriend, we were kind of up and down because of the drugs and alcohol, I got pregnant again. And he denied that the child was mine. My parents supported my decision to keep the child. So I was able to stay with them. They helped me get on my feet so that I could get out on my own. And that was a good time. That was a very, very good time. But I still struggled with my self-worth at that time. The rejection of my father, the rejection of my boyfriend, the anger, the drugs and alcohol, I was not in a good place.
And around that time, in your late teens, maybe even early 20s, one of your sisters came to know Christ and began sharing her faith with you. Of course, you were pretty upset at God, but how did you respond? And ultimately, how did that impact you?
So Jody, at that time, when my sister came to me, I was in my darkest hour, if you will, or I should say it was getting to that point. I was raising my son on my own. I was living in an apartment with two girlfriends who also had babies about the same age as my son. I was continuing to do drugs and alcohol. I was working, but I was a functioning person with just no identity and a lot of anger. So if it wasn't for my job, I probably wouldn't have made it. But my sister, who gave herself or who gave her life to the Lord, came to my apartment this day, and she said, "You know, I want to tell you about Jesus, Terry." And I kind of rolled my eyes, and I was like, "Oh boy, here we go." And I didn't really want to hear what she had to say about God. But she invited me to a Christian concert that night at a local college that was close by. I just said, you know what, why not? If anything else, the music's probably going to be good. So I went ahead and went to the concert with her, heard the worship music, heard a gospel message, And then the Holy Spirit got a hold of me at the altar call. Jody, it still brings tears to my eyes. That moment, I can tell you like it was yesterday. I could not get down to the football field fast enough to give my life to the Lord. I said to him, I said, I don't even believe in you. I don't even know if you're real. But if you are, would you, could you do something with this wretched life of mine? Because I didn't like myself. I knew what I was doing. I did not like who I had become. I felt filthy, unworthy. Just, I was at my wit's end. The Holy Spirit got a hold of me. I was literally walking on clouds for probably a good 6 months afterwards. I was evangelizing everybody I knew. The Lord and I were tight, I thought. Kind of went from there.
So did you get connected into a Christian community at that point? Or how were you growing in the Lord?
I really did not have a connection with the church at that time. Shortly before this, my brother, who was in his 20s, was shot and killed unexpectedly with a double barrel shotgun by a thief who came into one of the stores that he was working at very early in the morning. And we were just beginning to attend a church, Calvary Chapel, out there in California. I was starting to grow in the Lord, but I did not have any deep connections in the church. The pastor, the youth pastor, he was more involved with my parents who were trying to get close to the Lord at the time. But I did not have the depth that I needed, nor the support. So it was difficult for me to have anything to lean on at that time. I just felt like I was on my own.
So you were juggling so much. You were working, raising a baby, or raising, he was three by then, right? Your son was three. Longing for that stability, still searching for security. You knew Christ, but you really weren't in a fellowship where you were growing in him. So then you met a man who seemed to have it all together. Handsome, successful, supposedly went to church. Seemed like an answer to prayer, right? All your heart's desire. But soon after, you discovered that things weren't all as they appeared. So what happened?
My sister, the one that brought me to the Lord, I trusted her immensely. And I kind of felt like she was my only connection to any wisdom, really, at that point. My parents were trying to get close to the Lord. And we were all baptized as a family when my brother was shot and killed. But my parents were not somebody I could really lean on. So my sister was kind of the one that I turned to. She was looking for my best interest and, of course, the best interest of my son at the time. She said, look, I want you to meet this guy that my husband works with, and I think that you'll like him. I think he's a good guy. He seems like somebody you could lean on, that you guys have some things in common, and he loves the Lord, and I think he would be a good dad. He wants children. I told him about you, and he's very excited to meet you. So we met. On the outside, yes, Jody, he looked like he was the perfect man, like the Lord was opening that door for me. So I wasn't particularly attracted to him. I didn't feel a lot of love feelings for him. But really, at that time, the only thing that was important to me was finding a husband that would take care of me and my son, to be honest with you. So shortly into the relationship, there were signs of abuse. He would stay out late at night, come home in the morning. A couple of times he came home, he had, I could smell cologne on him. There was blood on his shirt one night when he came home. He said that he got into a fight with somebody at a bar. There was sexual abuse and physical abuse. And it started gradually, but it just kept getting worse and worse.
And you were married to him at this point, right?
Oh, yes, we were married. Yeah, we got married not too long. I would say probably about 3 or 4 months after we met. We had the support of our families. Everything seemed to be going well. We were going to church. Yet he was extremely jealous. He was an alcoholic. He liked to drink a lot. Then I found out that he was connected to the mafia. He also liked to do drugs. So we would often do drugs together, not when we had the kids. The kids were with grandparents. So this went on for about 3-4 years. And then he started being abusive to my sons. So at that point, I realized that if I stayed with this man, somebody was going to get killed because it was that violent. I went ahead and filed for a divorce. He ended up getting custody, primary custody of our child because he was connected to the mafia. And he made a lot of money dealing drugs. So at that point, we divorced. I stayed local, continued with my job, but also went back into more drugs and alcohol.
So after everything that happened, that just must have been a lot to process emotionally, spiritually, physically, practically. How did you begin to even deal with the aftermath and start picking up the pieces? Because, I mean, you had your older son, but your younger son was still in the care of his abusive father.
Yes. I just was going down a very dark, dark hole. I began to get an I don't care attitude and just began to really abuse myself with drugs and alcohol and relationships. I met a military man at a bar one weekend. He basically just said to me, "Hey, why don't we get married? I mean, if it doesn't work, you know, we can just get a divorce." And honestly, Jody, in my numbness, I said, "Sure, why not?" I just didn't care at that point about anything. And honestly, that time is a bit of a blur for me. So if I jump around a little bit, it's because I'm only remember certain bullet points of what was going on at that time, except for what God was doing. This was really affecting how I felt about myself, my self-worth. I just didn't feel like I could do anything right. Then a friend of mine came to me and she said, "Look, I've got this opportunity to work in a hospital and set up their warehouse system, their central supply system. And I'd really like to bring you aboard with your skill level with IT and operations and management and my warehousing and inventory experience." So I said, "Great." So we started this two-year-long contract working for a hospital in town. And things were going really well. I was feeling very good about myself, and it was my job to hire the staff that would work in the inventory there. One afternoon, I was feeling very, very good about myself, and one of the young men that came in for an interview, I hired him right away. We connected almost immediately. He fell in love with my son, and we began a relationship. So I guess you could say that I was a bit of a cougar at that time, since he was 12 years younger than me. I sort of resolved it in my heart, Jody, that I felt like I had been taken advantage of so many times by men. It was time for me to get control of my own life.
So the military man that you married, I mean, you divorced him pretty quickly because you realized that was not the relationship for you.
Correct. That was not quite a 6-month marriage. We both realized that was a blip, a mistake and then of course he had gone off to another tour somewhere. So we had to do the divorce all remotely, and he was in agreement. We were divorced before we even got married.
Yeah. So this new young man that you started seeing, finally seems like life was turning around and things were looking up. There was some hope again. You had a good job. So tell me about those years. How was God working in your life during that time? What happened in that relationship?
He, at the time, was the love of my life. I was very hopeful about life going forward. I was very excited about having a new name again. And he just loved my children. He loved me, would have done anything for me. He was Catholic. And of course, I was Christian. And he basically just said, I will leave my Catholicism and become a Christian for you. I want to raise the boys. I want to serve God with you. We moved to Seattle, Washington. We found a wonderful church out there that we just grew in leaps and bounds. The congregation came around us and supported us, gave us a beautiful wedding. We became very quickly involved in ministry. So we started working with the youth and we fell just right in love with them. We started a band. We started an evangelistic team where we went out into the community sharing the love of Jesus and evangelizing and seeing people give their lives to the Lord. So there was a lot of spiritual fruit during that time, Jody, a lot of prophetic words spoken over both of us, but oftentimes just over me individually. I remember one particular time we were evangelizing a junior high school in our community. We were sharing the Lord with them, just playing some basketball with them. Somehow I came down and got my foot in a hole, broke my ankle, literally on the basketball court. And I was crying and in a lot of pain. And my husband, this young man, came over and prayed for me. And he says, you guys, I want you to come over right now. We're going to pray the power of God over my wife right now. And you're going to see God heal her right here, right now. We started praying. And sure enough, Jody, the Lord healed my ankle right there on the spot, on the basketball court. And even I was shocked. I had experienced a few healings. This was pretty dramatic. And so, make a long story short, we were able to lead seven of those youth to the Lord right then and there. And they came to church, became part of our youth group. And really, truly, it was just a wonderful time in the Lord. I thought, okay, this is it. This is what God meant all along. And we wanted to pastor a church. We had ideas of doing great things for the Lord. Unfortunately, my husband at the time, because of the age difference, it was very difficult for him to take on the responsibilities of that marriage. Financially, just everything. He really struggled. He had some addictions, which I won't go into right now, but he was unwilling to address those issues, and his heart somewhere along the line had kind of started moving away. I think he was feeling the age difference. At that point, we realized that there was no going back. We had tried everything to heal our marriage. We moved away to Texas for a little while for a job transfer for him. And during that time, there were difficulties with other women coming to me and saying that he was not the man that I thought he was. I left Texas, came back to Washington. Sometime after that, he came back to Washington. We tried to give our marriage a go, but too much time and events had passed, and there was no commitment at that point. We divorced. And that was probably the toughest time for me, because I truly thought this was going to be it. And the rejection, the devastation of the divorce just, again, set me into a space and time of numbness and not being able to make good decisions at all. So I decided to leave Washington and come back to California where my family was.
Another loss, broken relationship, kind of the death of some ministry dreams as well.
Yes.
Really can be discouraging, you know, loss upon loss upon loss, loss of a church family, so much loss. But even in that season, God's hand was clearly guiding you.
Yes.
But of course, like so many of us, there are still areas where we want to take control. We think we can do it our own way.
Yes.
So tell us about that time. What was God doing in your heart and how did that turn out?
Just before leaving the state of Washington, in my grieving, swallowing the rejection of this, of my husband at the time, the Lord gave me a scripture, Jody. I felt that the Lord had come and sat down next to me and told me how much he loved me. And that's through a scripture out of Isaiah chapter 54, verses 4 through 8. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed, neither will you be confounded, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth, and you shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore, for your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when you were refused, saith God. For a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. I felt that the Lord was telling me, it's okay. I still love you. I'm your husband. It's going to be okay. Just keep your eyes on me. And I had hope in the midst of total devastation. So I got a job. Moved fairly close to my parents in California. And because I didn't have the depth with the Lord, I was still craving the love and acceptance of a human, a man. And so immediately, within 3 months, I got on Match.com, met a guy who was a pilot. He was a foodie. He was a Christian. Was also a graphic designer for Hollywood. So he had been doing Hollywood movies for a real long time. Pretty much immediately whisked me off my feet. I was very busy flying around Southern California and cooking and learning about food and being involved in the church that he was attending at the time. What I didn't know, and I found out shortly within 6 months of the marriage, was he was a schizophrenic and a severe alcoholic. So that kind of crept up little by little. Basically, he said the same thing to me, Jody, that the military guy said. He just said, hey, why don't we just get married? If it doesn't work, we'll just get a divorce. And I got suckered right into it one more time. I was so numb, I didn't wear a traditional wedding dress. I wore a red dress for that wedding. And I was so numb and so brazen that I just didn't care. One really great thing came out of that, Jody, and what the Lord has shown me through all of this is in order for me to heal, I needed to go back to each marriage and find the positive, the good things, mostly about the Lord, but what happened in that marriage to be able to move forward in my healing. So this is what I've done. During that time, I attended a codependency class, codependency and manipulation that the church was offering at that time. It was an 8-week course and I was having regular panic attacks. I was on antidepressants, I was really struggling in my mind to keep it together. This class, and we attended together, this class really opened my eyes to how I was functioning. So negative patterns of thinking, rejection, triggers, all of this. And these are things that I write about in my books. That class really helped me realize that I needed to make some changes desperately, and I needed to put the Lord first. We were married a year and a half, and he came to me and he said, Terry, I'm really sorry, but we need to get a divorce. You and I are very broken people. You are far beyond broken, more than I thought you were. And I'm just going to go ahead and give you $5,000. I'll help you get into a new place, but we need to go our separate ways. So he kicked me out to the living room. I was kind of a mess. I was drinking all the time. I was on antidepressants, and I quit my job because I couldn't work. That's how mentally far gone I was.
Rejection can push us to such hard places emotionally, spiritually. You know, you said your reaction, you were just messy. Tell us, you know, what happened after that? How did you see now that God hadn't stopped working in your story?
So yes, he indeed was always working in my story. And at this point, I realized, because I was living fairly close to where my sister, who brought me to the Lord at the time, I thought, you know, I need to just go talk to her and see if I can stay with her for a short period of time. And so, unfortunately, I had already had a whole bottle of wine. I drank a whole bottle of wine by myself, and then I made the very poor decision to get into my car and drive to her house, which was literally not even 10 minutes. It was so close. I was going to take the side streets, but I decided to get up on the freeway. So I did. I got up on the freeway, and Jody, somehow I ended up on the on-ramp. I was supposed to be on the off-ramp, getting off on the next exit, but somehow I had crossed over the freeway onto the on-ramp and blacked out. And when I woke up, it was dark, it was raining, and honest to God, I don't know how, other than just the Lord transporting me from that place to the off-ramp. And I was able to get off of the freeway with a broken axle, which I probably got as I had crossed over the freeway. Came down, parked immediately under the overpass, and called my sister. And she immediately came, got me. She took full control. She said, just go get in the back of my car. I will take care of all of this. Don't say anything. Just wait for me. And somehow she worked it all out. So no police was involved. No accident report was done. Nothing. She let me stay with her for a month or so. During that time, I stayed in her garage, and I remember going to the Lord and saying, Lord, why are you letting me go through all of this? Why don't you just take me home? I can't do this. I can't make good decisions. I'm an alcoholic. I don't love myself. Nobody loves me. It's got to be me. It's got to be my fault. I don't know what else to do. I said, but if you want me to be single, why are you not giving me the strength to do that? And I said, but I don't want to be single. I want a man, a good man in my life, one that loves you, old fashioned, somebody like my dad, you know, the good things that I remember about my dad. But I started going to my sister's church at that time. I was seeing a counselor. I was still on antidepressants, trying to keep the Lord close, trying to make good decisions. And I said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to church and I'm not going to let anything get in my way. I don't ever want to date again. Lord, I'm scared to death to do anything. One Sunday at my sister's church, I came in. I decided to wear a muumuu and some sandals. I did not want to bring on any attraction to to any male at all. I was trying so hard, you know, not to do that. One of the ushers came, and I was late, of course, and he just happened to say, well, I have a seat right here next to me. I sat next to him. There was no attraction whatsoever on my part. At that time, I just felt like the Lord was just saying, just stay here, Terry. Don't do anything. Just one day at a time. The pastor was, I felt the sermon was lukewarm. He was overweight and sweating. And I just wanted to get up and leave. And the Lord said, nope, just sit right here. I've got something for you. Just wait. So after the service, this couple came up to me and invited me over for lunch to their house. And I said, yes. So on the way out, the usher that I was sitting next to came up to me and he handed me his business card. And he said, look, I'm a financial guru of some sort. If you have any problems with your finances or anything, give me a call. And I'm like, yeah, right. That's never going to happen. So anyway, I went and had lunch with this couple and they began to share with me their story. And they both had a history similar to mine, but they found each other later on in life. And it was a beautiful story, Jody. So it was sort of just God's way of saying, look, this is where your life is at, Terry, but I haven't left you. And I'm still right here and I'm still working. So just keep breathing. Keep moving forward.
You made that decision to put God first.
Yes. So at that point, a couple of weeks later, I was trying to get my finances in order. I remembered this usher. I called him up and said, you know, I could really use your services to help me get my finances in order, get my credit cleaned up. And so we met for a business appointment. And it turned out that when we were finished with the appointment, he said, why don't we sit and have a bite to eat? Because it was at a restaurant. And we did. Somehow we got onto the subject of marriage and we had our placemats in front of us and we wrote down our ideal marriage. And top of the list was that the other person would love the Lord and that the Lord would be number one in their lives. We decided at that point that we might just start a friendship. So that's what we did. We started a friendship. We became romantically involved. We very fast, very quick, 3 months later, we decided to get married and we started a business together. We started going to church and everything seemed to kind of be falling into place. He had also been married 4 times also. So he also had a past, but we decided that we were going to try to help each other work through these things. It's unfortunate, but it wasn't long. It was about 9 years into our marriage that we just couldn't rise above our own baggage, both of us. So That was a difficult time, and we decided to get a divorce. We were close in proximity. The Lord said to me, and this is what I always tell people when I'm giving this testimony, the Lord said, all right, Terry, you over here, Wayne, you over here. That was my husband's name, Wayne. And so for 2 years, we were divorced. That was when I started putting the Lord first, during that divorce.
During that time, during those 2 years, the Lord brought you kind of into a freeing, an intensive time when he freed you from some of the baggage from your past. Share about that and how that really changed your life and perspective.
Yeah. So that was the kicker, Jody. It was right during that time, during that 2 year time that we were divorced, that I truly did finally put the Lord first. And actually it was very freeing because he was my everything. He was my husband at the time. He provided for me. I asked for a good job. I asked for a good place to live and ended up renting a room with a European woman who was a chiropractor in town. She had a dog. I had a dog. And her neighbor was also a single woman. And so they kind of gathered around me and just became my girlfriends, but they were more like my older sister almost. You know, whenever I had a tough time, they were right there. We would go shopping or go to an event in town, or it was just the support that I needed, Jody. It was a quiet time between me and the Lord. I was walking through town and I saw a sign that said Pregnancy Center. And I thought, ooh, Pregnancy Center, what is that? And so I just walked in with my dog and the executive director was sitting there. I introduced myself and I said, I'm new to town and I'm looking for work. Do you have any openings? And she said, I just happen to have an opening. And I told her my background. And we sort of fell in love right then and there. She and I and my dog and we just, the Lord just knit our hearts so fast. It was just such a miracle. So she started me out at about 12 hours a week. I ended up being there 4 years. And it was wonderful, Jody, because I brought all of my experience into this job. So I did everything. I was the operations. I helped put together all of their IT, all of their computers, their networking, all of their curriculum. And I was also their at-risk client advocate. So women who would come in that were abusing drugs, or they had been abused, or they were having trouble just with their own identity, just very troubled women, they gave to me because I had that experience in my own life. Then my executive director came to me and she said, Terry, you need to take this this course. It's called Surrendering the Secret. And it is an 8-week abortion recovery Bible study because I had had an abortion. And she knew that. I told her that. And she said, you need to do this before you can go any further with your advancement here at the Pregnancy Center. So to make a long story short, that was the beginning of the healing for me, very deep healing. On the first night of the Bible study, I had a panic attack while I was driving there. I had to turn around. I went back home and got back in my car, drove halfway there again, still having a panic attack, drove back home, and then drove to the Bible study. So there was this back and forth for the first about 3 nights of the Bible study because I was facing things, Jody. I was facing things. I was facing the truth, the awful truth that I had murdered my child. That was tough. I didn't realize just how angry I was. And that was a great big puzzle piece to why. So I went through the study, really just connected with my daughter. The Lord told me that the child was a girl, gave me her name. Her name is Penelope. I was able to put that right in my mind. I knew I was forgiven by her and the Lord. So like I said, I was there 4 years and then my parents began to have difficulty with aging. One of them was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And I had reconnected with Wayne during that time, just on phone calls. We had to deal with some insurance stuff and straggling ends, things that we had to finish up. And at that time, we started having some conversations that were, I don't know, more like brothers and sisters in Christ. He had found a church that he was really putting himself into. His relationship with the Lord was getting stronger. And he said, hey, why don't I come see you? Why don't we just get together and have some lunch and we can get all this taken care of all at once? So we did that. And that was kind of the beginning of a new relationship with him.
You had walked through 5 failed marriages, but you finally had found that affirmation and identity you were searching for, not in another person, but in God. When you were able to forgive yourself and receive God's forgiveness for the sins of your past, How did that really change your life and your relationships?
It was, I don't want to say an instant freedom, but it was, I knew that something had changed drastically. I no longer needed the approval, the validation of another human being. I didn't need it anymore because I knew who I was in Christ. The Lord was making himself so real to me, Jody, in all of my circumstances. And I had ministry. I found a great church. I was able to be sort of the representative for the pregnancy center in our community. I was ready for whatever the Lord had for me next. I felt very confident, but in him, I just knew who I was in Christ for the first time ever in my life. You know, whenever I would get married again, I was excited about my new name. And I would literally, Jody, write it down on paper, just this new last name. And I was so excited about it. But what the Lord showed me during that time of not having Wayne in my life showed me that he was my husband. He reminded me out of Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. And I'm just going to go ahead and read that real quick. It just says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and the stone a new name written, which no man knows except the one that receives it." The Lord showed me that my identity is in him, not in anything that goes on in this life. So the devastation of 5 failed marriages, the image stamps, the memories, all of that, just sort of took a back seat. And I just very confidently trusted that God was doing something. At that point, I said, "Lord, whatever you want, just keep me right here growing in you." And I knew he loved me, Jody. I knew who I was in Christ. And God was doing something in my relationship with Wayne at the time.
So you and Wayne actually ended up getting remarried. And that was, what, now 10 years ago?
Yeah. So we actually remarried in 2014. So we were divorced not quite 2 years. And during that time, we just, we fell in love in a different way. So it was more of an unconditional love. We had sort of a pity, a compassion on each other because we realized how broken we were and how human we were, but it made it so much easier to accept each other and to love each other because Christ was the center of our relationship. So at that point, we decided that we were ready. I mean, we waited, I don't know, 3 or 4 months before we remarried, but our church, we had new pastors that were missionaries in Fiji, and they counseled us before we remarried. We had a traditional church wedding, which I have never had before. It was wonderful. My family came alongside of us, all of our friends at the pregnancy center. They gave us a beautiful wedding, and it really has been a wonderful journey of serving the Lord together with my brother in Christ. So I stopped looking to him or any other human for validation. I knew who I was. I knew the prophetic words that had been spoken over me. Nothing was wasted. So I decided to get my story down on paper. The Lord told me, "You're going to do it." So it took me 5 years to get that story down on paper, but we did it. And we're still together, Wayne and I, and we're working on 20 years now. And it has been quite a journey. You know, sometimes it's up and down, but I tell you, Jody, the Lord just gets me through everything.
Well, through all those cycles, all those broken relationships, and the constant redeeming love of God that met you each time, tell me, what's the biggest lesson he taught you along the way?
He is always there. He is always faithful to me. when my husband's weren't. He taught me that his love is constant. And it's, Jody, beyond any kind of human love that you can ever experience. Because you can have great relationships, but somewhere along the line, a human is going to let you down. And he showed me that he was going to take care of me, work out those gifts, those ministries, that words that were spoken over me years and years ago, he had not forgotten about. He had not forgotten. Those were still yes and amen. And he was going to work that out. So I was very confident. I was confident in the Lord. It doesn't mean that I don't sin time to time. I have bad attitudes. I get mad. And my husband too, and our pride gets in the way. But it's very different now, because the Lord is number one. I'm confident that he is never going to leave me or forsake me. That's what I learned. And I know it. I'm very confident of that.
When you realize marriage is not about what my spouse is going to give to me, or really any relationship, not just marriage, but it's about how can I represent Christ to the other person? It changes our whole paradigm. It changes our ability to, it gives us freedom to forgive. It gives us the ability to not be offended. Not that we're ever going to be doormats, but when we're exhibiting Christ to the other person, and that's our primary goal, it changes everything. Terry, I love to ask all my guests at the end of our interview, what woman of the Bible has really inspired, encouraged, or taught you something meaningful?
I was the Samaritan woman. So the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, this is yet another story that the Lord showed me, because, feeling guilt, shame, and all of that for my past feeling, we have these feelings and emotions, especially as women, that we're just, we run off with, like the movie Squirrel, we're off, by our feelings and our emotions so fast. But the Lord showed me about his conversation with the Samaritan woman. So he took the time to talk with her, which is a miracle in itself. He knew full well what she had done in her life. He knew that she had been married 5 times, but he never shamed her. And she took the initiative right away to ask him why he was even asking her for a drink of water, when culturally at those times it was unacceptable. Talk about bold. But Jesus, he showed me he was God himself. He could have shamed her just for her boldness, but he didn't. Instead, he took the time to tell her about the gift of eternal life. That's compassion. It really freed me up to come boldly before the throne of grace when I was struggling with things. He just continued to have this matter of fact conversation with her, and he stuck to the facts of salvation. And then she immediately left and began evangelizing, her town, her community. How awesome is that? Jesus knew exactly what she was going to do, and he took the time to let her know the truth. Well, Jesus did the same for me, and he does that for all of us, Jody. God, he wants to use us. He wants to touch other people's lives through our experiences. He knows who we are. He knows what we're all about. He knows our upbringing, our shame, our guilt, our hurt. He doesn't miss anything. And yet he laid his life down for us, and he's not ashamed of us in any way. And here's a scripture that he gave me during that time of showing me about the Samaritan woman, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world, to confound the things which are mighty. I think that society at the time of the Samaritan woman, she was shunned for her past. People today do. I mean, there are times when I share my story and people are, you can just feel it. You can just kind of feel that, oh, you know, well, you were married five times. So, but Jesus doesn't. He doesn't shun. He beckons us to come to him with all of our baggage. And if we're willing, he shows us his love, his power, our identity in him. And that's what I hold on to, Jody, on a moment-by-moment daily basis.
Well, Terry, thank you so much for sharing your journey with such honesty and courage today, because you're right. People love to shame when they don't understand what we've gone through, but God is the one who takes away our shame. And you know, really, your story is such a powerful, powerful reminder that no matter how many twists and turns our lives take, God's redeeming love never, ever, ever, ever lets go. What the enemy means for destruction, God can restore, bringing beauty from ashes and hope from heartbreak. Friend, maybe you can relate to parts of Terry's story. Perhaps you've made choices you regret, or you've endured rejection that's left you feeling unworthy or forgotten. Well, hear this truth from Isaiah 54:5. For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. You are not abandoned. You are deeply loved by the one who calls you his own. Terry, before we close, would you take a moment, pray for our listening friends?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, we are so grateful. You said wherever two or more are gathered together in your name, you are right there in the midst of them. So Lord, I just lift up all of Jody's listeners. You know every single person, man or woman, that's listening to this message. Lord, you know every hair on their head. You formed them in their mother's womb. Your love never fails. So Father, I ask for your healing touch, just like that healing balm, Lord, that ran over the priests' heads down into their beards, Lord, that you would just send redemption, healing, and grace. I thank you, Lord, that we can come running boldly before the throne of grace, and that you give us new mercies every morning, breath in our lungs. So be encouraged in Jesus' name. I thank you for precious fruit and healing that remains, and calling those things that aren't, just as Moses did. So healing, redemption, and hope for the future for all of you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As we close, I want to speak this blessing over you based on Isaiah 61:3 and Psalm 30:11-12. May the Lord turn your mourning into dancing and clothe you with his joy. May he exchange your ashes for beauty, your sorrow for gladness, your despair for songs of praise. May his healing presence restore your heart, renew your hope, and remind you that his love never fails. If you want Terry's full story, I encourage you to get a copy of her book. There's a link in our show notes. And friend, just as God redeemed Terry's life, he wants to redeem yours and the lives of others too. And through the Widow and Orphan Fund, you can be part of sharing that same hope around the world. From Africa, Asia, the Caribbean, and right here in the United States, widows are experiencing God's comfort and provision because people like you have chosen to give. If you'd like to join in, visit hergodstory.org and click on Help Now. And yes, we even accept cryptocurrency. Hey, remember, you don't have to walk through this journey alone. If you need prayer, call or text our 24/7 prayer line at 855-459-CARE. Or email us at prayer@somebodycares.org. We would be honored to stand with you. While you're at our website, you can also download a free 6-week devotional on women of the Bible. It's a wonderful way to grow in your faith and be encouraged through the stories of women God has transformed by his grace. Until next time, remember, God is still writing your story, and the final word is always hope.
Her God Story is a ministry of Somebody Cares America and International. To find out more about or support the ministry, go to somebodycares.org.